Welcome to Sharon Hart's Woman to Woman, covering topics for everyday Christian living through conversations that challenge spiritual growth. Now, here are your hosts, Sharon Hoskins and Janie Ratzliff.
Hi there, this is Sharon Hoskins. Thanks so much for being with us today. As we look at the materials that are used to build upon the foundation of Christ, in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, Paul gives a warning that we should be careful how we build and what materials we use. He gives us a list of gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and stubble, and reminds us that we are the temple of God. He says in verse 16, "Know you not that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you?" So join in the conversation as we discover how Paul instructs the Corinthians in character quality. Well, Janie, we are examining 1 Corinthians 3, 12 through about 15 is where we are, where Paul is exhorting the Corinthian church to be careful how they build on the foundation that is laid, and that foundation being Jesus Christ. And the materials that Paul mentions is gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and stubble. What Paul is talking about here is our character.
Sharon, let's do this. Let's go through showing what is the positive, what is the good in the character. Let's go show what is truly in our character that is gold, silver, and precious. And then let's take a look at what is wood, hay, and stubble. We always talk about wanting to practically apply the scriptures.
Right.
So let's just go look at the qualities of good character. Humility. That is the quality of a good character. You can also have integrity. Integrity is, can I trust what you say because your life shows that you have character of worth, of caring for the other person? And by the way, some of these character qualities can be had by even an unbeliever, but they will have limitations as to the depth, because they are working off of their own intelligence. So I don't want to make the statement sound that all Christians can have good character and all unbelievers can't. We know many people who are not believers that are incredibly generous with their possessions.
Mm-hmm.
And they do have evidence. I had family members who their word was their bond, and they actually had a more sounder commitment to their word being what they would live by than a lot of Christians that I know. There's also courage. We know on the battlefield there are unbelievers who show incredible courage as well as Christians. But the test is, are we courageous in the things that matter to the Lord? Are we courageous in holding to His testimony, in holding to what He has shown us? Because on the battlefield right now, Sharon, the battlefield is at best the life duration of 70, 80 years of your life, and then you will have eternity to then see how your choices are going to have an effect. Mm-hmm. I don't care if you have a side plate of medals up and down your jacket. If you're an unbeliever, all of that will mount to nothing when you slip into your eternal destination.
Well, Janie, let me ask this then. If these are good character qualities and these are things that we are supposed to build on our foundation, are these qualities that people can muster within themselves, and it's all really a fleshly kind of character quality without it being a Christ character?
Okay, so many people can have the appearance of good qualities and even do good deeds, but you will find at the base in the heart there will be some sort of self-assertion,
okay,
self-consciousness.
So it'll be for some sort of selfish gain.
Exactly.
In some way. Okay.
Yes.
All right.
Does that clear that up?
Yes, it does. Thank you.
Okay. So then I'm just going to give off a couple of other names, and then I want to go to our scripture passage for today to look at what would be poor character building qualities that will be always wood, hay, and stubble.
Okay.
So, but finishing up on the good, let's just give people some things to think about. a life that has the wisdom of God. That's how we started off this study, not using man's wisdom, but using the wisdom mm-hmm. of God. An unbeliever cannot use the wisdom of God. He doesn't possess, or she doesn't possess it, but they can use the wisdom of man, but it has no lasting value. And what we're talking about today is what's going to last forever.
Right.
All right. Then some people have great vision. Winston Churchill had great vision, but his life was not something that anybody could take and say, here is a model example of how to live your life. But he had wisdom to know how to fight a battle.
Right.
And was successful.
Uh-huh.
Then, you know, we need to develop patience, diplomacy, discipline, and places where we need to be responsible.
Okay.
Those are just words that have deeper meaning that we could probably do a lesson on each word. But now we go to the fact that we have wood, hay, and stubble. And the scriptures have given us wood, hay, and stubble in Galatians, and that's Galatians 5. And I think sometimes we as believers don't believe that we need to worry about this. However, the scriptures tell us in Galatians 5, starting off in verse 18, it says, now, if you are led by the Spirit, you're not under the bondage. Okay?
Okay.
So the works of the flesh, I'm going to start off with these words as according to the scripture. Now, the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery. And we, you and I could say we're happily married. That's not an issue for us. All right? But where do we have the love within our hearts? Is it for the Lord first? Or are we more in love with our ministry, Sharon? Are we more in love with the reputation that we hope we portray to people that listen to us? So if we have something else or someone else as our first love, even though we are not in an adulterous relationship, we are in spiritual adultery.
Okay. Well, that makes sense. All right.
And then we have fornication, which would simply be, again, a different form of how we handle our lives spiritually.
Mm-hmm.
And then it goes in and it tells us there is uncleanness. And again, that can have a very physical connotation. However, we are told that our hearts must be pure. It cannot have impurities if we're going to be holy, being led by the Lord. There are outbursts of wrath. Well, the Bible tells us to be angry and sin not, but it tells us how we have the freedom when to be angry and when not to be. But I've seen myself, as well as many, many Christians over the course of their lives, get highly angry to the point that they want to bring vengeance and wrath upon another person, and then they can justify it. All right, that's in the same description as murder.
Right.
So yes. We don't consider
the spiritual aspect of these.
Yes, but we do have to remember the story at the beginning with Cain and Abel. Cain thought he was totally innocent in bringing the first fruits of his own labor, and he didn't like the consequence that Abel got, so his anger brought about murder. All right, we don't associate us being angry with somebody to be in the same sequence that can lead to murder. But if we choose to live a life in the flesh, we'll find that there are depths of the flesh that we've never known. That's why we need to keep short accounts with any fleshly act that we may be living under. Envy. What woman has probably not envied another woman?
Yeah.
Or things that she has, or her good looks, or what have you. But yet, envy is in the same list with drunkenness and murders. And then what woman has not spoken unwisely with her tongue in a manner of gossip and been able to justify that we're just having
a conversation. Or we're at a prayer meeting, Janie.
Okay. And yet there's no differential here on the depths of the works of the flesh. All right.
Well, I tell you, I have seen for quite some time that the church is really not looking any different than the world, and the world is looking at us and saying, hey, who needs Christianity when you guys, you know, you fight and you bicker and you backstab each other more than I do. Who needs that? This moral guy over here who doesn't know Christ treats me nicer and better than, you guys do.
Sharon, I do not understand how a hungry heart can teach and preach the word and then not hold a plumb line to their lives to see if they're in alignment in their lifestyle. But a carnal-minded heart will always come up looking like a hypocrite or two-faced, and the world sees that because they see themselves in us, and then they say, as you just did, who needs Christianity? Yeah. But that's because they're looking at us through the eyes of the world, and we're not giving them back a standard of a biblical worldview.
Well, we're not giving them back the character of Christ. And that goes back to the fact that we're not building on our foundation Christ-like character.
How you treat another person is a reliable measure of your own character. Now, the person you treat the most poorly is the level of your own character.
Oh.
So let's just say your character flourishes amongst the church members, or you are a shining example of integrity, true integrity, at work. But you come home at night and your spouse irritates you, and you're at constant war with a person that has been your choice, the Lord's choice, for your life.
Right.
And you lambast, you criticize, you try to change, and you don't speak well of that person. Well, that's the level of your moral and character. If you're wonderful with everybody else and you're a nasty Nana with your spouse, that's your true character.
Okay.
So stop and think of the person you treat the worst. It could be a child, but it's that person in your life that
you
treat
least, the worst.
That you treat the worst. That's where you have to start to gauge your level of character development.
Well, that would give us a gauge to work by.
It certainly will. Now, idolatry. If you want to flip somebody's switch, ask them what is their first love in life. And many beautiful Christians will say, well, it's my family. Oh, that's your first love? That's not what the Lord told us out of Revelations 2 and 3.
And so you're an idolater, Janie.
And if you want to flip somebody's switch who's in ministry and believes they're doing the best they can, and then you bring up that, wait a minute, you've got your priorities wrong, you won't be the most popular person in the church community circle. But sometimes we need those shocking statements to alert us to the fact that we're in danger. Now, the Bible does quickly tell us that we need to do whatever we do in a spiritual state of gentleness. Part of the fruit of the Spirit is kindness. So we can use by the tone of our voice whether we are really being judgmental. Well, that's just idolatry. Don't you see where you are? Or saying, sister, Jesus Christ says that he wants all of you first. And then as he has all of you, his love through you will flow out onto your family in deeper ways than what you'll ever know.
Put him at the center
of your life, and then it will flow. The springs of living water will flow from the innermost parts of you. So then you can exhort with encouragement for a person to get back on the track without being harsh. I love the example, and I will give him credit because it's where I learned, and it was from Chuck Swindoll when he says, the tone of your voice, no matter what the words are, influence the ears that hear. And he gave the example. He said, I have my dog, and I can put my dog on my lap, and I can say, I love you. And the dog just cowers and kind of screeches down in his, or he can say, oh, how I hate you. How I hate you, doggy. And the dog's tail is lagging and wagging, and the dog is just leaning his head up to its master's chest. You see, it's in the tone, and the tone can reveal the heart and the spirit of if we're judging or discerning.
Right. Well, that's good.
All right. Yeah. So then we need to just recognize, without elaborating on this, in verse 21 of the chapter 5.
In Galatians.
and
we're in Galatians.
Thank you. Is it says, these who practice these things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, that doesn't mean that we all have not perhaps practiced some of these fruits of the flesh in our lifetime. But as we have become aware of it through circumstance, through failure, through reprimand, and we choose to say, Lord, thank you that I have been forgiven and I stand in the freedom of that forgiveness with repentance so that I'm not going to make it a lifestyle.
Right.
Then I don't want the enemy coming in and putting in false fear into a person's life. But if a person can observe someone else's life and say, you know, for 50 years that person has had an anger problem and they just don't change, then that person probably needs to go back to their foundation and say, I need to examine my life. Am I really in Jesus Christ? Because we can't ever discount Matthew 7, that, Lord, Lord, didn't we do many works in your mm-hmm. name? Did not we have many signs and wonders? And the Lord says, depart from me.
I never knew you. Yeah.
Right. The character of Christ has to be the standard. It will never develop by pleasing self. And here is the statement. The Lord Jesus Christ will never put your work, your ministry, your service over your character.
So the character is the most important.
If you don't have the character of Christ flowing through you, everything else is going to have tarnish on it.
So everything else is really just wood, hay, and stubble.
A servant, which would mean the person of Christ, is more important than the servant and its ministry, or her or she ministry. It's okay. The person. Just like it's the wonderful gifts that Jesus Christ has given us. It's the wonderful plan that he has devised. It's the wonderful sovereignty that he is. But until we know him as a person, rather than just knowing about him intellectually, mm-hmm. we've missed the mark. And okay. we don't have the purpose that he has created us for. And then relationships depend on character, not how you feel about a situation or a person. Your relationships are dependent upon your character and how you choose to live out your character, not how you feel about a person in a relationship.
Okay.
And the character will be reflected in our lives by his character being made known to us in our hearts. And then the very last, to assist in finding and understanding one's character determines by how you see how they laugh, weep, or get angry. See what makes them laugh.
Okay.
See what makes them cry. And see what makes them angry. And then that will be tools you can use in finding out how one's character is developing.
So am I supposed to use that to try to make them angry?
No. This is an observance skill.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Because I really got lost with that sentence.
Okay. Well, see if the things on some of the comedy hours that we have, can they really laugh at the innocence of a family joke that is really humorous because it happens to all of us and
uh-huh.
the comedian knows how
okay.
to make a funny out of that situation? Or see if they laugh about more dark humor.
Oh, okay.
See
okay.
if what makes them laugh is when somebody uses profanity in a right spot just to bring that in, but that makes them laugh. See what makes them cry. All right.
Okay. I got it.
Okay.
Yeah, I think what you're saying is, if we watch and be observant to those people around us, including ourselves, you know, that might
yes.
be a great examining tool for ourselves.
That's right.
You know, what makes me cry? What makes me laugh? What makes me
angry?
Angry. Mm-hmm. Where is my level at? And what does that say about my character?
Yes. Yeah. So, Sharon, shall we take, I don't know how much time we have left today, but shall we maybe just...
Well, Janie, what I would like to do is, you have some definitions here that I would like to read. that I found very, very interesting. And it goes back to the gold, silver, and precious stones. You have for gold that gold is transparent. It reflects light and warmth, does not tarnish, made purer by fire as the dross is burned off, and can be used in many applications of life.
Yes, and so that means that the building block is lasting, and it can have practical application and enjoyment today, but it's going to also be used to great benefits that we cannot comprehend right now throughout eternity.
Well, one of the other things that I noticed with this is that the applications, the many ways that gold can be used, and so it's not for one area. It can be used in many different ways. God can use that gold characteristic in our life to help others.
Yeah, well, and again, we are here as training for all of eternity with the idea of being available to one another. Mm-hmm. Basically, the gold of a heart that knows how to witness, to bring people into the family of mm-hmm. God. That's a treasure that has temporal benefits for a life being changed, but it also has eternal blessings.
Yeah.
So we get the benefits now, and we get the blessings as well as here and eternity. With Jesus Christ, Sharon, it's a win-win situation, mm-hmm. even though the path is not always smooth.
Right. Well, the next one is silver, and the definition you have for that is that it is malleable and can be hammered into new shapes, conducts heat, is a standard by which all metals are tested for conductivity, can tarnish easily if interacted with certain chemicals.
And can tarnish easy if interacted with certain toxin poisons in our thought life and our emotions. And one thing I learned about silver is that it is the metal, as you said, which all other metals are tested for conductivity, something that will flow through. Now stop and think a building stone to where the life of Christ can just flow through your life and my life onto others' lives. And as the silver stone is being built, what a beautiful example of bringing life out of death to someone that needs to hear the gospel.
I like that.
What about the silver being a brilliant, beautiful setting for the precious stones? Stop and think about how much silver is then applied as the metal where the beautiful turquoise is always set in it to enhance the brilliance of the turquoise, one of those stones.
Yeah. Well, then that one is the next one. It says precious stones. And one reason they are called precious rather than semi-precious is because of their rarity. And, of course, you know, the different ways that they're shaped and formed, and you don't cut turquoise the same way you do a diamond.
No.
And you don't do every stone the same way. And so they're honed different. They're extracted different. They have different colors, different beauties, different brilliance.
But Sharon, they're all formed in the darkness of the earth.
Oh, that's a good point.
And they're all have some pressure applied to them in making them into a stone with different levels of hardness, durability, brilliance, value, and use. I mean, a diamond is used for many different facets. And so the Lord knows how to then guide us into which precious stones He wants our character, our personalities, to learn how to radiate. But it's all, as the song says, it will be worth it all when we see Jesus.
Amen.
And we'll see the top side of the tapestry rather than just the underside.
Amen. Well, that's all the time we have for today, Janie. This is Sharon Hoskins, along with Janie Ratzliff, saying goodbye until next time. And God bless.
Thank you for joining us for Sharon Hart's Woman to Woman. If you'd like to hear this broadcast again or for Bible study resources, go to SharonHarts.org. That's SharonHearts.org.